Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Well, good morning, church. Well, good morning, church family. It's good to see you guys this morning. I know with summer coming on with beautiful weather. At the same time, people fighting allergies and flus and colds and COVID and then vacations. I'm just glad to see you all here this morning. I know it's
so much going on. I know my family and I are here at work. We just finished up a crazy season with COVID. We're still working through it. And ending up in sports and activities to having my daughter's Christmas birthday on Friday and then Saturday having
So pray that I have energy, but I'm excited to get into this text this morning. Matthew 5, verse 6 in the Beatitudes. This is, again, the intro to the Sermon on the Mount, and here Jesus is speaking to his disciples in this crowd that has gathered around to hear him. And he's talking about the kingdom of God. He's talking about what it means to be God's people. And Jesus moves through, as we've seen these last few weeks, he talks about these blessings. Blessings that are completely different than anything we're used to thinking about what it means to be blessed. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. These are not just things that we normally think of, but in God's economy of what it means to be God's kingdom people, these are like almost stair steps in the beginning of what he's calling us to look at and be his people, to find blessing in him. And so in today's text, in Matthew 5, 6, let me read this to you. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." That is an amazing text. Would you pray with me that we may understand this text even more today? Heavenly Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit be upon us this morning. Lord, I specifically ask for your Holy Spirit to be in me, to guide me. You know how physically tired I am. So teach through me. Lord, may our hearts be opened to your word. Those who are at home, who are watching, those who are here, may we draw close to you. May our thirst for you grow. May our hunger for you grow. May we even have a hunger for you. Change us. Grow us. May we thirst for you more than we ever have. May we find satisfaction in you like we've never experienced. Lord, may our spirit, may our salvation come alive today. Work out our salvation in fear and trembling. Grow us in our walk with you. May we come to your presence and say, I need more. I can't get enough of. May we fall more deeply in love with you today, Jesus. And may your love overflow in us so we are living the new creation life. We ask this in your name, Jesus, and all of God's people said,
amen.
So hunger and thirst, these are physical cravings Jesus is describing our spiritual soul. We wake up every morning hungry. We wake up every morning thirsty. It's something that is natural in us, and throughout the day, we're constantly looking for more food, wanting to eat a little more, Hunger, it keeps coming back. No matter how much you fill it, it keeps coming back. We're thirsty, dehydrated, always looking for more. Looking to quench this. But it's more than just a physical thing. Christ, I think it's amazing how many times he makes a connection of how he created us and what we're created with, about how our soul is supposed to be. God did more than just give us physical hunger for food and physical drink. God creates in our hearts, in our souls, a desire that he is designed to satisfy. One that is looking for what will give us life. A hunger and a thirst for true life. It's all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the New Testament. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, who wrote this, after a man searching for all these things in his life, he said in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, God has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's mind, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Now, I'm not going to unpack all that verse, but I love that Solomon points out that man has eternity in his mind. He has eternity in his heart. He has this already in him, this longing, a hunger. But he doesn't know what it is. We try to satisfy this hunger all the time in our lives. Beautiful vacations. There's nothing wrong with them. I encourage you to go on them. I'm going to go on them. But they will not feed that hunger. Creativity and art and music are beautiful things, but they cannot satisfy this hunger. We try to satisfy this hunger with movies and entertainment to find humor in and relax, and they're wonderful things, but they can't. Many have tried to satisfy this deep longing in our lives with sex. With maybe if I get married, if I have that right person, and that will make everything okay in my life. Many have tried to accomplish it with sports and activities, and they're great things. But then we try other things. Things that aren't always good. But it's always a way to satisfy this hunger. We try drugs. We try alcohol. Always seeking to somehow satisfy this. We eat and we eat and we eat to medicate, we eat to indulge, we eat all the time. But we can't satisfy even though our bellies are full. Maybe if I get that beautiful home or that beautiful place, maybe if I watch a little more HGTV and figure out, maybe we need more shiplap. That's what we need. Then I'll be satisfied. If you know what shiplap is, it's an art thing and I'm sad that I know it. Okay. I've watched too much HGTV with my wife on Saturdays. But some of us try to satisfy this hunger with academic accomplishments. If I learn more, if I'm a more educated person, if I have that higher degree, then I will be satisfied. Maybe it's in business accomplishments. Maybe if I can own my own business or obtain more wealth or just get out there and do and have and get and conquer. And yet, we're still starving inside. Have you ever seen someone who is malnutritioned? You ever watch those shows they have on TV that comes up and there's the commercial of the kids starving in some place and you see that person? Or if you're my family and I, we've supported missionaries overseas and sponsored kids in Africa, and you see these kids and they're people and they're physically starving. That's what we're used to when we think about being malnutritioned, and that is one of the correct ways. But there's another form of malnutrition, one where you're not getting the vitamins that you need from the food you are eating because the food you are eating is garbage. You're eating food, and yet it doesn't give you what your body actually needs to be healthy. It's trying to process, and this is why things shut down and are craving and hurting. You see somebody who is full and they're eating and they've got a full plate, but yet there is so deeply undernutritioned or don't have the nutrition they need. They're malnutritioned. They fool themselves because they think they are healthy because they eat, but what they eat doesn't give them the life and nutrition they need to survive. The world, and yes, even the church, at times can be very malnutritioned, is overflowing at times with this spiritual malnutrition. We are starving spiritually. Our souls can be sick and dying. And yet we think we're full, but all we're doing is eating garbage. You eat the nasty of this world, the junk of this world, and say, I'm full. This is what will satisfy. And Jesus says, blessed are the people who have a different hunger, who have acquired a new taste, who have acquired a hunger and a thirst for what the world doesn't hunger for, and what it's not feasting on, righteousness. This is echoed all again through the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet speaking for God here in Isaiah 55, verse 1 through 3. He says this, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me. Eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, God says. Hear that your soul may live. He's not talking about food. He's talking about your soul. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. It's an amazing passage. It's part of the heartbeat of what Jesus is saying here in this beatitude. That's what I desire for us as a church. That we come to the Lord. That we come to our God and our Savior and stop trying to earn, stop trying to buy righteousness, but take and eat what he's offering us. That the Lord himself is good. He is good. Stop trying to create something in your own strength that will you think will fill your soul. Stop chasing the empty wells of this world, trying to fill them, and return to the living water of God. It's not only that we cry out, but that we must be satisfied and filled. But what do? Many times we're like what the prophet Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 2, verse 13. He said about Israel, for my people have committed two evils. Here's the first one. They've forsaken me. Who am I? I'm the fountain of living water. And they've carved out cisterns, man-made holes in the grounds instead of the wellspring of life. These are broken cisterns that can hold no water. A cistern is basically like a well, but you don't have a water source naturally flowing into it. You don't have an underground river naturally flowing into it, so they have to pour water into it constantly to have it close to their home. They have to literally go get it, and they got rainwater, and they got runoff water, and they've got any old water, and any animal passing through that puts water in, and anything else that goes in. And not only is it nasty water, but Jeremiah says here, it's a broken cistern, meaning the ground itself isn't even designed to hold it. It soaks it up, and it's constantly disappearing. It cannot keep you full of life. Jesus described himself in John 7, verse 37 through 38. If anyone thirsts, and that's all of us, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Many of you here this morning are like this. Your soul is hungry. Your soul thirsts. You're craving. Not for me to be quickly done so you can go to lunch. But you're craving the manifestation of the presence and the righteousness of God. And you feel that craving. You feel that malnutrition. You feel it because you've been eating on unrighteousness. So Jesus has something to say about this longing. A longing that our Creator has put in us. Matthew 5:6, let me read it to you again. Blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And here's the promise. They shall be satisfied. You ever had that satisfying moment? When my wife makes carnitas and I eat on them, and they're just carnitas are a pork taco that are just, they're just beautiful. They're just seasoned, and you put it all together, and you eat on it. All of a sudden, I mean, I will get as fat as a tick. I mean, I just eat on it. I can't. It brings my memory back to growing up in Southern California. There's these weird emotional moments I have. I shed a tear. I love it. And you have that moment, you're sad, but then I can't have, I want more, but my body can't take any more. My body's like, time out. Brian, hey, go run a couple miles. Come back. Let's make some room here. But Jesus says we will be satisfied. We will be satisfied. I mean you're filled. So what I want to do this morning, I want us to meditate on two things from this verse. The nature of righteousness that Jesus has in mind. We need to understand that here in a minute. And second is the nature of our hunger and our thirst. How our hunger turns into satisfaction, which he promises. So let's look at the first thing here. What is this righteousness Jesus is talking about? Well, first, righteousness. This hunger and thirsting for righteousness. Last week we explained that the meaning of meekness was something that was being quoted by Jesus in Psalm 37:11. And so we spent some time on that psalm. He's quoting it almost verbatim. That meekness does not occur again anywhere else in the Sermon on the Mount. It only happens that one time. But righteousness occurs over and over and over again in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew 5, verse 6, in Matthew 5, verse 10, in Matthew 5, verse 20, chapter 6, verse 1, chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus mentions righteousness over and over again. So I think the context of this sermon, it's such a pivotal thing in this entire sermon, in this entire set of Beatitudes. It doesn't just come up once, but it comes up twice in verse 10. It's mentioned twice, just like the kingdom of God is mentioned twice, starting in verse 3 and then in verse 10 also. Kind of like this sandwich, if you would. Again, I'm talking about food. Everybody's going to get real hungry real quick. But you ever had those stacked sandwiches where it's almost like two sandwiches together become one? You know, it's like, why is there bread in the middle? Because you know, it's just this really neat thing. I love it. Put some bacon in there. It's awesome. But you got this sandwich. And so we have the two breads on the end seem to be the kingdom of God. This is what he's talking about. What is the meat of the kingdom is then everything that's in between. We start building in this. And so I want to start unpacking this structure for you. We have this, the kingdom of God in verse 3 and 10. But then in the middle is almost like a sandwich with then another sandwich. The first few verses that we've been looking at in verses 3, 4, and 5 have been the first part of that first sandwich. And what is he talking about? He's talking about emptiness. He's talking about a deep need, a weakness in us. There's spiritual poverty, that we're spiritually bankrupt in verse 3. There's mourning over our sin and the misery that sin has caused us in verse 4. There is this accepting, this meekness, this submission to God's control of our wild lives where the weakness of our flesh, we're easily led all back and forth to and fro, and we need to be bridled. These are not characteristics of overflow fullness of righteousness. They're beautiful, though. They are proper in their place. They show us our deep need for our hunger. You cannot hunger for righteousness if you don't start with being poor in spirit. If you don't recognize how spiritually bankrupt you are, you'll never hunger for righteousness because you're so used to chasing the garbage food of this world. And so now you realize, I am unnutritioned. I am malnutritioned. I am starving for the Spirit of God. We start there. Christ starts us there. And then says, then you start mourning. Have you ever looked at some of the food and ingredients going, oh my gosh, this is what I've been putting into my body? Oh, this is horrid. This is wretched. They have a whole movement of whole foods. I call it rich man food because the rest of us can't afford it. But, you know, all this, like, this is what's good and what's, you need to know the ingredients. We mourn. We go, oh, I'm putting all that into me? We mourn it. And then we realize that we still crave the junk food. We're still easily led back to the junk food. There's a reason why it's called fast food. Because we can, we just want to quickly get it and get more of it. And it produces chemicals in our brains and in our bodies. It's amazing how what goes on with the body and food is a great parallel for our soul. And Jesus says, this is the beginning. When you have this recognition and this battle going on, what you start craving is true spiritual nutrition. Righteousness. That's the first part of this double-decker sandwich. And then the second half of this double-decker sandwich starts laying out some new things for us. Starting in and it's interesting, verse 10 is the next thing we're going to. Verse 10, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, but blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That means they're already filled with righteousness. So what takes place in between the hunger and the fact that you're persecuted for righteousness is the beginning and the meat we need for pursuing righteousness. He says this wonderful stuff to us. Blessed are the merciful in verse 7. Blessed are the person who is full and overflowing with mercy. He's not merely broken and sorrowful and meek. He is now active and overflowing with the deeds of mercy. And we're going to unpack that next week. In verse 8, he says that this person who is blessed is spiritually pure in heart. They're not defiled. They're not defiled by the things of this world. They've been made pure. Verse 9 says that this person is not just a peaceful person, but a peacemaker, a giver of peace. That's the presence of God. They are ambassadors of Christ. That's what that second sandwich of this double-decker is meaning. That's what we see Jesus doing for us. He's showing us and developing for us our hunger. We have to have the first three Beatitudes. They're a blessing because they create in you a desire for God Himself. You're craving God. I'm bankrupt. I'm mourning what I don't have God in my life and my lack of having God. I need God's control and power over my life because I'm easily led astray. I need His righteousness. I need His righteousness. I need to hunger for it. And Jesus says, how blessed you are. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to create it in you. I'm going to satisfy this in you. So the definition we have for righteousness can be this. It is proper for us to look and hear and see those who are merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, that is the righteousness He is creating in us. You see that there. Jesus is merciful. Jesus is holy and pure. Jesus is the one who brings the peace of God with sinners. What He's saying is you hunger and thirst for Christ. You hunger for who Christ is and Christ to be built in you and grow in you and mature in you and be developed in you. These are not behaviors. This is a new heart, a new mindset, a new virtue, a new character, a new creation. They're not just merciful actions, but they're a merciful person who's always giving mercy. A holy person who doesn't want to be defiled by the things of this world, but seeks to give their life wholly to the Lord. A person who, when they're around them, they bring not just happiness and calm, but what comes with them is the presence of God. Blessed is that person, because they're so walking in the righteousness of the Lord that the world hates them for their righteousness and persecutes them. Why is the church not impacting America? If you don't know this, Christianity is growing, but not in our country. It's growing, exploding in Africa, exploding in Africa, exploding in China. But here it's dying. Because we, as the church, do not hunger and thirst for righteousness. We're entertained with Jesus. We have our celebrity preaching pastors and our favorite little books and our bookstores and our knickknacks and our paddywhacks, and I guess we give a dog a bone. But we have all this stuff, and this is Christianity! But it's okay if I watch whatever HBO puts out. It's okay if I watch whatever's on Amazon Prime. It's okay if I pursue and I eat and I engage and I swear and I cuss and I drink and I do all these crazy things, because I've got the grace of Jesus. But you don't have the holiness of our Lord. We love grace. We want mercy. But holiness? That person may not be saved. Jesus says, blessed is the person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Hungers and thirsts for righteousness. And Jesus goes on in the Sermon on the Mount to compare the righteousness that he's putting in the Beatitudes to the righteousness of the Pharisees. In Matthew 5:20, Jesus will go on talking about righteousness, says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. And then what does Jesus do? He then begins to go and lay out in the Sermon on the Mount, showing us, hey, you think you're righteous? You've heard it said not to commit murder. I tell you, if you say horrible things and are mean and nasty in your heart towards someone else, you've committed murder in your heart. You've heard it said not to go commit adultery. I tell you, if you even lust for another human being in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. He goes on to lay into the righteousness of the Pharisees and say, my standard is high. The prayer life, the giving to the poor, and taking care of the needy, he starts unpacking all of that in the Sermon on the Mount. Because the person who hungers and thirsts for righteousness starts producing the righteousness of Christ. So those things are dealt with when there's hunger and thirsting for the Lord. It's an amazing thing. Your hunger is satisfied. So what's the nature of our hunger and our thirst? That's the second question I wanted to meditate on. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. This longing, this deep longing and passion for the Lord. I love that the Psalms start out with this same theme. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight, his joy, his passion is in what? The law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. God has been calling his people to delight in him, to delight in what he's about. Pastor Brian, you may be looking at me going, why don't you just say Christ? Why doesn't it just say hunger and thirst for Christ or hunger and thirst for God? I think there's a reason why Jesus says it this way. God's righteousness, if we just said it's hunger and thirst for God, we would just create our own definitions of what that looks like. He gives us something very powerful here. Seeking first his kingdom. That's what Jesus wants. He desires for us to seek his righteousness. So we must seek and understand him. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then says, all these things shall be added to you. We have to hunger for this. God is the standard for righteousness. So when we hunger for him, we hunger for his righteousness. We don't look at the broken cisterns of this world and our resources that we go to. We look to God himself and say, Lord, I need to be filled by you. Put him in our view. God knows we need tangible manifestations of his presence. Tangible fruit of hungering for him in this broken, sinful flesh. So he says, I say, hunger for God all day. And you shall not go hungry. Hunger for me, thirst for me. Jesus here says that his qualities of purity, his qualities of mercy, his qualities of being a peacemaker is what we should be seeking after. And it chases away everything else. That's the fruit he's wanting to look at here. Also, I think here, this Sermon on the Mount ends with a very strong warning about religion. There's a deep, deep, deep warning. In Matthew 7:22, verse 23, Jesus says this, on that day, that's the day he returns, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Church folk, we need to hear this. These are people who said, Lord, who called Christ Lord. They seemed to have the charismatic gift of prophecy. They were engaged in some form of exorcism and casting out demons, even doing miracles in Jesus' name. And he turns to them and says on the last day, depart from me, you doers of evil. They thought they knew him. They thought they knew him because they had power, because they had done religious works, because they had done church things. Because they'd set up VBSs. Because they'd run Sunday schools. Because they had worked in the church and took care of things. They thought, hey, I've done the church stuff. But Jesus said, I never knew you. You did not hunger for me. You hungered for my power. You hungered for what blessings I can give you. You hungered for good obedience and the praise of people. You hungered for religion. But did you hunger for me and my righteousness? Did you feast on me? Did you feast with me? We have this deep longing in our souls. Not for the delights of the world. Not for merely religious behavior or expressions of religion. We have a hunger for satisfaction that comes from God himself. To those passions in our life, to know him in the struggles. The man who is meek is the man and woman who looks and says, my passions and my flesh want to betray me from the righteousness of God. So I look towards him and need his mercy. I look towards him to give me purity because my flesh craves sin. Like the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't want to do, I seem to be doing. Oh, what a wretched man I am. Who can set me free from this, he says. And then what does he answer with? Thanks be to our Lord Jesus Christ. He hungers. He's aware of his hunger. And he keeps his flesh wants to betray him. So he looks to the Lord. He looks to the Lord to satisfy. He looks to the Lord to meet that craving. He looks to our God and our King to satisfy his deep need. So our take home here today is very simple. It's to make righteousness your passion and be satisfied. Is making righteousness your passion? Is seeking the Lord daily your passion? Or is it just something you tag along with? Seeking the Lord's word daily. Not in a minute. I read that passage, move on. But no. Lord, what you've revealed in your word, may it be true in me. I want to be conformed to be more like you, Lord, because I can't stay how I am. If I stay how I am, I will be living in sin. I will pursue sin and the hungers and thirsts for this world. No, I want to hunger constantly and be satisfied constantly. I got to have more of you. You are better. Your holiness is better than sin. Talking with folks about purity in marriage. Man, pastor, you wanted me to stop doing that and stop doing this and live this way? I'm not used to that. That's what God's purity and holiness is. Pastor, you mean do I need to give up all these things to be saved? No, but when you're saved, you start giving up all these things. Do I have to give up smoking dope and drinking and doing all this to be saved? No, but when you are saved, you start giving up that because you start tasting and hungering for that which is pure and you realize this is defiled. Do I have to stop swearing and doing all these things to be saved? No, but I want to be separated from that which is defiled and to go into that which is pure and holy because I realize He is better. This tank here is not just us getting wet. It is an outward symbol of the leaving behind of the old life that is buried and dead. And we are brought to new life, resurrected in new life. We cannot tag along and say, I have new life, and then yet bring with us old life. That needs to be taken out back and put a bullet in the head. That's a visual. And if you've never done that, let's go hunting. The old life. We need to be pursuing how, and this beast wants to keep coming back to life. Lord, help me shoot it. Help me kill it because you are better. You are greater, and your word reveals how good you are, how merciful you are, how pure you are, how holy you are. I want more of you. We're so just satisfied for a ticket to heaven that we miss out on all that Christ is calling us to. I'm reminded of the analogy, and I want to close with this. It's pulling this by memory, so forgive me. That's not what I wrote down. Of a man who was given and gifted, and you may have heard this, it's been preached many times, of a man who was given a ticket onto this big, beautiful luxury liner. And he was so happy that he had this. He wanted this. He'd been wanting it his whole life, could never save up enough money to get on this big, this gorgeous luxury liner, to go out on this cruise, this all-expense-paid cruise, and he was so excited. And he gets on the boat, and he and they're like, "Sir, here, this is all that's going on the boat, and here's all that's happening." And he's like, "This is amazing." And he settles down. He gets himself. He's got his bags, and he settles down onto the chair, and he gets all set into his lounge chair, and he's just blown away by seeing all the entertainment and the games and the shuffleboard. And he starts opening his bag, and he pulls out a sandwich. And he's just happy to sit and eat and observe, just to be there. And day after day, this man's seen sitting on this chair, curled up in blankets he had with him, he brought with him, wrapped up in his clothes, just watching, enjoying. And the staff start noticing, and they bring it to the captain's attention. And the captain comes to this man and says, Sir, are you living right here in this lounge chair?" "Well, yeah, I couldn't afford all of this that was here on the boat. I'm just so blessed to be here and see it and be a part of this. I'm so excited just to look and go, look how beautiful this is." He says, "Sir, do you not realize that your ticket brings you to all of this? Your ticket that was given to you at a high cost bought all of this for you? You mean I've been missing out?" And the captain takes him, brings him into the main dining hall, and opens up the feast that is there for him. The captain leads him out to see, "This shows that are going on is all for you. Everything here is for you to enjoy and encounter." But so many of us are just happy to be sitting on the deck chair with our unrighteous sandwiches, missing out on the feast that Christ has for us, missing out on the joy of his kingdom, missing out on the righteousness that he has for you. You are made righteous, but now he wants to help you to live in his righteousness. That's where this transition's happening here in this passage. Chapter 5, verse 6 is a transition from creating the hunger, and now these qualities of righteousness are going to be manifested, chasing after. So come back next week, because we're going to get deeper and deeper into what the righteousness that Christ has for us. He has this for you. Desire it. And the first one he calls out, I believe is important, is mercy. Something we all want, something we all need, but we're going to be ambassadors of mercy. But only when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you so much for your word, because it reveals to us what you are doing, what you are calling us to. It both convicts us and encourages us. It reveals things and restores in us. It points out flaws and then is the medicine for healing. So Lord, create in us a new heart, O Lord. Restore in us a new passion, O Lord. Restore into us the joy of our salvation. May a new hunger be built in Trinity Baptist Church. A hunger for righteousness. A hunger to that we can't get enough of you, Christ, that we will be a new people. That we won't just sit around and be entertained by God, but we will experience all that you are, knowing you, having a deep relationship with you. May we be a transformed people. We pray all this in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen.